We all know how overwhelming it can feel to try to decide what to eat, what's healthy, what's not. The options are endless, which is why my mom and I have been absolutely loving Factor. If you're ready to optimize your nutrition this year, Factor is perfect for you. Factor has chef-made gourmet meals that make eating well easy. They're dietitian approved and ready to heat and eat in just 2 minutes, so you can fuel right and feel great no matter what life throws at you. Factor arrives fresh and fully prepared, so it's perfect for any active, busy lifestyle, which is exactly why my mom and I have been loving it so much. They have 40 options across 8 dietary preferences on the menu each week, so it's easy to pick meals tailored to your goals. You can choose from preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, or Keto. And best of all, Factor can help you feel your best all day long with wholesome smoothies, breakfast, grab-and-go snacks, and more add-ons. I got some juices in my last delivery that I've been loving having as an in-between my delicious meals. So eat smart with Factor. Get started at factormeals.com/factorpodcast and use code FACTORPODCAST to get 50% off your first blocks plus free shipping. That's FACTORPODCAST at factormeals.com/factorpodcast to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Chicago Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Coming up on this week's episode of Barb Knows Best, the podcast.
What do you do when someone you love, you know, becomes a source of pain or becomes unbearable or becomes an emotional turbulence in your life that you can no longer tolerate?
Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. It is me, Michelle, your co-host, and as per usual, I am sitting across the table from my lovely mother, Barb, which hopefully will know best today. As always, hello, Mom.
Hi, Michelle. You brought a big laugh to me.
We aim to please.
A big laugh, mother, and a big dear. Smile. So, yeah.
Hi.
How are you?
You look a little tired.
I do.
No?
It's been busy.
Okay.
It's been busy. We're in the season.
Tis the season.
We're in the season and it feels like it's very, very busy.
I do feel like these past few months have been a bit hectic in our realm, at least. I'm not used to being so back to back to back to back with responsibility. Oh, no, not responsibilities, but not obligations, just stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on.
We've had a lot of travel and a lot of projects and it's all good, but you're right. It feels like it's been back to back, which is all good because I think we're coming up on a little break soon. So
yeah, if you've been listening to the show since we started, I identify as an Eeyore.
You're so funny.
And so I thrive on having down, quiet time, and I look forward to that time when I have it, hopefully in the near future. But anyways, hello. Well, we're excited to be chatting with you all this week. And as always, I think in the spirit of the time of year, the holiday season around us, we've dived into the past couple weeks, toxic relationships, tricky dynamics in relationships, managing difficult dynamics during the holidays, all of that, all in the spirit of all of those things. We wanted to kind of keep it going a little bit for one more week and talk about something that I think you're really good at, Mom. And I think that you're an authority figure, in my opinion, on this topic. And it's something that we discuss quite often on the show. And I don't know. I know a lot of people are very curious about putting this into practice, but it doesn't always seem accessible for many of us. But I think it is an extremely powerful and meaningful and fulfilling practice when you can really figure out how to do it in a way that's aligned and that works for you. And so I'm excited to talk about it this week. What do you think?
Well, it is something near and dear to my heart.
Yes.
And so it's loving people from afar.
Yep.
Is our topic for the episode today. Sorry, I was just kind of thinking for a moment as I was speaking, because it's not something that's a one and done, and it's not something that you can just do overnight. And I think that that's why people want to know more about it. I've talked about it a lot in workshops and in my own practice and things that I've written about and all of that. And I think it's the first time we're really diving into it on the podcast, on our episodes in the podcast, even though we've mentioned it before.
Yeah.
Because I think you're right. It's something that is very worthwhile to practice and develop and cultivate, actually. We have to cultivate it. And it truly, truly, truly is a practice. And it stems, though, from a very deep-seated place. So,
well, as I said, we've had many conversations in the past few weeks about complicated dynamics within family, toxic relationships. And what I find to be interesting, and I really love how you talk about it, Mom, is that you can identify and label a relationship as, you know, toxic or dysfunctional or not for you, and even go no contact with that family member or loved one or whatever, any relationship in your life. But it doesn't mean that you can't still hold love for this person or send love to this person or hold them in your good wishes if you still choose to. And, you know, especially when you are setting boundaries or maybe taking a step back or going no contact with someone, there's a lot of guilt and a lot of pressure and a lot of thoughts and feelings of, I should do this, I should do that, I should reach out, I should be in contact. This is family. Blood is thicker than water. Family is everything. All of those societal beliefs that we've talked about so often on the show. And I think that it's those beliefs that often stop us from maybe going through with the boundaries that we are desiring. And I think why I was so excited to have this conversation with you, especially right now, this time of year, I think these emotions are heightened for so many of us, is that there's a way to do both. And there's a way to honor both. And there's a way to honor what you want while still holding love and space for a family member that you have physical space from. And I do find that it's a very comforting and soothing concept to be able to define your love for someone else in a way that works for you. And you've done such a holistically beautiful job with that in your life, Mom.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, honey. Thank you, Foots. Well, I think it's...
do they know that you call me Foots?
I think I've done it a couple of times maybe on the show. That'll be another episode.
Yeah.
I think it's very layered, and we use that word a lot. I think you've initiated that word in our episodes. It's very layered because it kind of is how do you answer this question? What do you do when someone you love, and that's the key word, someone you love, you know, becomes a source of pain or becomes unbearable or becomes an emotional turbulence in your life that you can no longer tolerate.
Right.
And you've tried the regular route. You've tried the boundaries. You've tried all of the things and nothing has worked. And it still is a source of pain, but you still love the person. So I think that's the thing. That's where you know you're at a crossroads. I still love this person, but none of the things that I've been able to do work. And they definitely, you know, are a source of pain. And it's something that I just can't, you know, have the person in my life. I can't have their physical presence in my life, you know, all the things. So I think that's where you start. If you're in a situation like that, where it just nothing that you do can work, you know, how do you honor yourself? And that's the other key part of all of this. We're talking about someone that you love, but it doesn't work. It just their physical presence, just even a phone call or even some of the things that we normally would think that family members or close friends or loved ones could have, nothing seems to work. There's a trigger, or it's very dysfunctional, or it's narcissistic, or all the words today that cause us to think like, how do we have a relationship like this work? And how do you protect yourself? And that's the other key part. So I love the person, but I also need to put myself first. It's not working for me. It's really destroying my life, or it's right. ruining my sense of equilibrium or peace or balance.
Right.
Or
not just it's not working for you. It's chipping away at your inner peace and emotional well-being.
I like the way you just said that, emotional well-being. So I like to think of it. It's not necessarily about, well, so here, where do we start? So that's the question you ask yourself is, you know, is there someone in your life that they fall into this category? And so when I started looking at this in my own life, first of all, this is not easy. This is not easy, but it definitely is a worthwhile journey to be on. And so when I started looking at this in my life, there is still one person, I want to just be clear about this. There's still one person in my life that I have not been able to establish this kind of relationship with yet. That's why I said it's a process.
Do you have the desire to?
I don't know yet. Okay. I don't know yet. That's the whole thing. See, it's kind of, you have
no,
to
I
ask,
just was curious. Yes. Like, I would say this practice of loving someone from afar is, I think, the solution to, like you said, not being able to make the physical relationship work, not really being able to have each other in your lives, but you still want to harbor goodwill and good wishes for that person from afar. You know, it's not like they're, you know, an abuser or something really drastic like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't think of this, and I wouldn't suggest like that this is the practice for, you know, forgiving someone who has really caused you harm. This is just like, we don't vibe, we can't be together, but, I still want to be able to send you well wishes from afar. I know I keep saying the same thing, but it's that practice. And we're going to talk about the practices and your practice that I think is so powerful, but that practice of doing that, I know it sounds woo-woo, but I think the other person can feel it. I think it is a salve for your own soul to be able to put aside differences and send love and kindness to that person, despite the differences. And to just feel like physicality isn't the only way to have a relationship. You can, I mean, and even some of my best friends in the whole wide world, I don't live close to, I don't see physically on a regular basis very often anymore. We're all super busy and have our stuff going on, but I feel connected to them because we do, you know, reach out and talk, but it's an energetic thing. Like, you know that your people are there. And I think this also applies to the people that we aren't on the best of terms with. We can still send that love from afar. And I think it's important and it matters.
Well, I think it kind of goes in alignment with this idea of how do we forgive, you know, grievances, and how do we do all of those things when we've been harmed or when we've been disrespected or when we no longer feel like we can trust another person. It's kind of all those things. And I think what for me, what had to happen was I had to start looking at myself. So the ethos of my life, one of the main pieces of the ethos of my life is loving kindness, you know, coming from a place of love and coming from a place of, you know, not wanting to erode the love that I feel inside of myself and the kindness that I want to represent in my life. It doesn't mean being nice. It doesn't mean being a doormat. It doesn't mean that I'm going to put my own wishes and my own respect aside for the sake of another. It doesn't mean any of those things. And I think it's been a long journey for me to get to this place of I want to be the most loving, kind person that I can be. And where that starts, though, is you have to have it for yourself first. It wasn't until I had it for myself that I was able to say, okay, now how do I start having loving kindness for other people in my life who I can't have them as a part of my life but I still want to give them, as you were saying, I still want to send them well wishes. I still want to have loving kindness, but I actually can't have a physical relationship with them. And I know, I don't even know if this, I hope this is making sense for all of you listening, because I think it is. You're right, Michelle, really powerful. Because what starts to happen, and what has slowly started to happen for me over the years, this has been a long process. What has happened for me over the years is I no longer feel at the mercy of what society is always saying. Oh, right. It's your family. You have to love them. You have to have them in your life. You have to be able to put others first.
Well, even you have to be with them during X, Y, or Z times of the year.
Or can't you just suck it up and be with them? And, you know, all the things that we hear society say. And I was talking with someone recently, and we were talking about how, you know, not everyone is going to think that the holiday season or any of these times when you're supposed to be able to be with your families is going to be holly, fun, jolly. Loving. Yes. You know, because first of all, people are grieving. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in life, and we never know what other people are going through. And that's kind of the other piece of it that I don't know what the people in my life that I love from afar are going through, just right. Like they don't know what I'm going through. But I just do know we've tried everything that we can and it's not working.
Right.
So there's a piece then that doesn't get talked about very often is, if we still love them, why can't we just wish them well, love them, and be okay with not having them over for holiday dinner or having any kind of conversations or, you know, not having that usual, you know, loving example of how we share love in a relationship. And I agree wholeheartedly with what you said earlier. There are other ways of showing love. I love the people in my life that I love from afar.
Right.
And probably, I would say not probably, most definitely, if any one of them called me and were desperate and needed something, I would have a conversation with them. I don't know where it would go.
Right.
But I would have a conversation with them. But we don't have a physical or, you know, hey, how are you doing kind of a, or sending birthday cards or any of that kind of stuff kind of relationship. And it's okay.
Right.
And I'm thinking they're okay. And I'm okay because I still love them and I send them well wishes and I wish the best for them. But it has to come from a place where you truly mean it and you truly feel it, but you're also okay with yourself that you don't have to be with them and you don't have to have that quote traditional way of being with people that you love. Because what happens is you have to take care of yourself first. I have found so poignantly and so necessary that we have to take care of ourselves first. Because then if we don't take care of ourselves first, if we don't love ourselves completely, and if we aren't understanding who we are and what we need, then it's hard to get to that place deep within us that is true love, that is like pure love. Mm-hmm. So there's a part of me going through this whole process for a long time, decade. One of the relationships is a decade old this year. So what has been really beautiful for me is knowing that I love the person, knowing that it's been, that it isn't going to manifest into something other than probably what it is. And being okay with it is because I'm okay with the kind of love that I have for myself, which is kind of untapped, if that makes sense, or uncovered. Mm-hmm. The pure love within me that I feel that I want, that I feel that I am, and I feel that I want to be in my life. I hope this makes some sense.
It does.
Because this is not an easy thing to explain.
It's not. And before you and I started recording, we were talking a bit about how complicated it is to explain, but I think you're doing a great job. And what I think the overarching message here is, we can have the power and the ability to be able to choose and define for ourselves what a loving relationship looks like for us. And there are so many different dynamics and relationships. We've talked mostly lately about, you know, the not so great ones, but, you know, I think of relationships as a scale, and we're so commonly shown what loving relationships look like in media and in society and in everything, that it has to be a certain way. Like, you do X, Y, and Z if you love someone. You say this, you do this, you get together at these times. And I think so much of our podcast and our work, and especially you, Mom, is like redefining words and practices and aspects of society. And like our friend Tara Stiles says, like, who made the rules that we live in? And so I think what you're saying here and what we're really trying to convey in this episode and conversation is like, you can choose what it means to love someone in your life, and it doesn't have to look like what anybody else is doing. You know, that's what loving someone from afar means. It means you can hold them in your heart or send them good wishes or your prayers and all of those things. And that's a valid and worthy act of love. It doesn't have to look like you're calling each other every week and getting together every holiday and having a physical, seeing each other relationship or always in constant communication. And I think that's like the freedom that comes from this kind of practice, is that it's not black and white. It's a scale, and you can have a choice in what that love looks like. And I think the biggest issue that we're going to continue to talk about today is like breaking down that judgment and that guilt of like, this isn't good enough, or everyone else is doing it this way, I have to do it this way, which I know you and I both have felt that pressure. And it's like leaning into trusting that how you're showing up and how you're loving someone is enough.
Yeah, you said it beautifully, Michelle. I think also you were talking about guilt and judgment and all of those things. And another thing that goes right along with this, we start to feel sorry for ourselves when we read all these things, and you know that it has to be this way. And certainly when I've given a lot of workshops and talks, and we get into dysfunctional, you know, family dynamics, mm-hmm. especially when I get into the Q&A, so many people, when I talk about this in workshops, or when I talk about how I have developed this in my own life with family members, they just almost the universal comment is, how can you do that? Like, how can you be that way? This is your family. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the issue. And I think I don't want to say that's the problem, but that's really the problem that we have to be able to inwardly find a solution for. Like, what does that mean? How can you do that? That's your family. What if that's your only option right now? Or why is it there only is one way to do something, like you right. were just saying? What if you can't follow what society or what people out there are saying is the only way? What if you can't? And so that's why I go back to what I said earlier, is we never know what another person is going through. And I am so tired. I am really at wit's end this week, especially. No, you've heard me talk about this.
I can't wait to hear.
Well, we gave a talk today, and it was so sad just to hear people talk about social media and how they're being beat up, or how their children are being bullied and beat up on social media. And what are we going to do about it as a society? It's kind of the same thing. Who gives anyone the right, not only publicly on social media, but even in your own mind, you kind of beating and having judgment upon yourself, the right to actually name what's happening for another person, or how they should be responding, or how they should be acting. It really infuriates me. And I think maybe because major part of my life's journey is about finding freedom. Mm-hmm. Freedom to understand that this is my life. I am the boss of my life, and I'm the one that is walking in the shoes of my life and my path. So I need to figure out what is in my best interest, what is meant for me in my life, and never obviously at the harm of other people. But what is it that I'm being called to do here on this planet, and who am I, and what are the things that work for me? So, you know, this is such a layered conversation, because it's very, very, very deep. But I think when you get to the depths of loving yourself and caring about yourself and caring about your well-being utmost, then you can start looking at, now, how do I care for the other people in my life? How do I care for my children? How do I care for my parents? How do I care for my friends? How do I care for my family members? How do I care for the people that need me the most? All those things. Then you can start to say, okay, what can I and cannot do? And I also want to say, this is kind of not a bilateral, I mean, this is kind of not a unilateral thing. It's a bilateral thing. I think that the people that I'm talking about in my life probably feel the same way, most likely feel the same way about me.
A mutual.
Yeah, I think it's,
you know, mutual distance.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've reached out over the decade, you know, several times and never response back in one instance. So, you know, at first I was like, what the heck? You know, and so then you start to realize, I don't know what's happening. And it doesn't seem to be possible that that the family member wants to discuss it with me, which is fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm fine about that now. I wasn't then. I was trying to figure out how can I navigate this. And so every example is unique, and every example probably has a different energy to it, or a different set of facts to it. The point of it all is, what do you want? And what are you in the whole scheme of knowing all the facts of what's happening in the relationship, what is possible? And if love is possible for yourself, if love is something that you care deeply about, we can love people without being in their presence, as you were saying earlier.
Taking control of our health and wellness can be confusing and overwhelming. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. And our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, they all mess with our hormones. Then, of course, there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause. And while it's natural, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. The good news is we don't have to suffer through any more of it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty of adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages who are struggling with life-disrupting symptoms such as PMS symptoms, menopause symptoms, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep, occasional bloating, and no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BARBKNOWSBEST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BARBKNOWSBEST for 15% off today. Hey friends, health, wellness, and aging are all things that we think about all the time. But did you know that your actual age might not be the same as your biological age? That's right, it's not just about your birth date. Your body could be older or younger than you think. And that's where True Diagnostic comes in. With their True test, you can discover your biological age, plus get insights into the things like your risk for heart disease, Alzheimer's, and even early mortality. And the best part? It's all done from the comfort of your own home. No prescriptions, no lab visits, just a simple test sent right to your door. I just ordered my TrueAge test, my mom did too, and we're super excited to see what it reveals about our health, our wellness, if we really are as young as we think we are or as healthy as we think we are. We're so excited for those results. By tracking your biological age, you can actually see how the changes you make, whether that's exercise, diet, or sleep, affect your health over time. It's all about taking those actionable steps to improve your well-being, which, as you know, are so important to the both of us. TrueAge Test is the same technology that's used and trusted by leading doctors, researchers, and health experts around the world. So think about it. What would it be like to know exactly how your lifestyle is impacting your body? True Diagnostic makes it easy to get started, offering simple, actionable insights that you can use right away. So, ready to find out your biological age? Right now, our listeners can get 20% off their entire order at truediagnostic.com by using the code BARBKNOWSBEST at checkout. That's True Diagnostic, TrueDiagnostic.com. Just use the code BARBKNOWSBEST to save 20%. Plus, if you subscribe, you'll get an additional 20% off the 50% discount. Discover your true age today.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
And it not only feels real and authentic, it also, you know, eliminates the guilt, the judgment, the poor me. I'm not like all the rest of the people in my life who have family that they have, you know, holiday dinners with. It kind of eliminates all of that. I have none of those feelings inside of me. I only have love. I care deeply for the people in my life that I love from afar. And that's enough. I mean, it's more than enough. It's like excellent.
And that I can bear witness to what you're saying is true. It is enough. And I know that, like, that's a very real practice, and it is freeing for you as someone who is a seeker of creating freedom and peace for yourself. I know that you do find, or you do feel, that sense of freedom and love for the people that you do love from afar. And it's not even like a band-aid of, oh, I'm so angry and pissed at this person, but I'm going to love them from afar, like begrudgingly. It is like a true, I hope they're well. You know, it's not buried underneath anger. And I guess maybe could you talk about that? Because I'm sure it was at first.
Yeah, definitely it was at first, and not understanding it and how dare them and I don't know what to do. And so you reach out and you don't get a message back or all those things. Yeah, it definitely
confusion.
What did I do wrong? Confusion. And as it starts to go, and I don't even, you know, as it starts to play out inside of you, and as you start realizing that you're not walking in their shoes, like, it's so important to understand you don't know their side of the story and you may never know it. And I think that is critical. Mm. Once I gave up, I don't know what they're going through, and I may never know what they're going through, but this is the reality of where I am today and where our relationship is today. And you get to a place then when you don't have judgment and write a story about whatever it is, how dare them, they're awful, I'm writing them off, all the things. And I want to just say again, though, as you said earlier, this is not if you've been in a very abusive or a very extreme relationship. This mm-hmm. is not that at all.
Mm-mm.
This is really just about, you know, as you said, family differences, and really, really, it can be about disrespect. It can be all those things, but not about physical, sexual, or even verbal abuse, all of those abuses.
Right.
So once you realize that, you stop writing a story because you don't know, and you only keep writing the story because you want it to be different and you want to change them. You're not willing to accept that this could be the reality of what's happening in this relationship. And so once you start realizing that, first of all, you've kind of done everything that you can do. And I say kind of, you know, maybe there's some things that you can't do, but you've done everything in your own judgment and your own honesty that you've done everything that you think that you can do.
Yeah. You made the effort
yeah.
that you feel is appropriate.
And whatever's come back on the other side has come back on the other side. And you're still at a place where, wow, I still can't have this person in my life. So you've done all that you feel like you can do. Once you get to that place, you can mourn it. But certainly I was sad. Like, okay, I think this is for real. And I think as I started peeling those layers, okay, I'm no longer angry because I don't really know what's happening on the other side. So as you start peeling the layers and you start asking yourself the questions and you go through the sadness, I'm going to miss this person. I'm going to miss having them in my life. But the other side of it is I'm not going to miss the trauma or the drama or whatever it was that was happening. And as you start to do that, you start to recognize that love still is there. Like, the love is there.
Mm.
I don't know what's happening. I can't change the other person, but I still care about them.
You know, it is interesting the way you just said that reminded me of from one of my blogs about grief. Mm. And mm-hmm. that, and this was through the lens of death, but that, paraphrasing, that just because a love or a relationship wasn't in its original form doesn't mean that that love doesn't exist anymore. And I think it's easier to grasp, you know, when you're thinking about death, but it is also true in life when you feel like you've gone your separate ways with someone and that love still remains, even though it's in a different form. And that's what this is all about, is embracing that different form of love and reimagining your relationship with that love and embracing the love in that new form of like, okay, it's not how it once was, but this is where it is now. How can I live with that and embrace it how it is?
I love that, Michelle. It's a different form. And this is not spiritual bypassing, by the way.
No.
This is not, it's just the way that it is. And I just love everybody on the planet and it's all okay because
no,
this is, I just want to make sure, I want to make that clear. This is truly doing the work. I feel like this is doing the work that you and I talk about and that we teach so often. This is going through the anger phase. It's really like the five stages of grief, actually, because when we lose the physical form of a person, as you were talking about when your dad passed away,
yeah.
When we lose the physical form of a person, there's a whole grieving process that we go through. And I think it's the same in a situation with a family member or a dear friend that you can no longer have in your life. It doesn't mean they had to pass away in order for this to happen. It means they're still in their physical form, but you just cannot have them in your life. So you go through that. So you have to do the work of it. You have to go through the anger phase.
Right.
You have to go through the grieving phase. You have to go through all of the phases. This isn't really happening. The bargaining phase. Well, if this person would just do this, then I would just do that. And you go through all those phases of grief, really, and of truth. I think for me, it's kind of like, and then all what I think what I'm loving about this conversation so much right now in this moment is it is exactly the grieving phase. It is the five stages of grief. And you go through all of that, those phases. And when you come out the other side, you come to the realization, which is what I said early on, that I can't change anything that's happening in the moment. Mm-hmm. I can't change the other person. I can't, but I have to be me. I'm not willing to change. I'm not willing to be in a relationship that maybe causes me heartache or pain or disrespect. And I've tried to, you know, have a conversation, or I've tried to do the things that I needed to do and it hasn't worked. I'm painting this picture for all of you listening.
Yep.
I've tried to do everything that I possibly can. So instead of writing a story about how awful they are, you go through the grieving process of losing the person physically and you come out the other side. But you know what? Through all of that, I still love them. And it doesn't make me a weak person. It doesn't make me a bad person. It doesn't make me have to feel like there's something wrong with me because I can't have them in my life. What do I need to do to change myself? And I guess it, I'm not saying that you come to this so quickly. It is a process.
Right.
It is a grieving process, or it is a working through the anger or working through the phases process. But you come out the other side, instead of negating the fact that maybe you still love them, because that also happened for me. Well, how can I love them? Look at what's happening. Mm-hmm. Like you go through all of that, but I love them. So if you're honest with yourself and you know that your first priority is taking care of yourself, you're able to start letting other people be who they are.
It's the layers of acceptance.
Yeah. Beautiful. Getting to that place of acceptance. You let people be who they are. So the family members in my case here is that they are who they are, and who am I to judge who they are?
Right.
It just doesn't work for me, and obviously probably doesn't work for them either. So, but I don't know. So I don't need to know. I just need to know where I fit in all of this, and I need to know how I feel and how am I going to proceed. And how I've chosen to proceed is I love them. And so I love them from afar and I wish them well. So when I do my meditations and I do the, you know, the mantra writing that I do and stuff, I will do, you know, I wish you well. And I use the phrases that I've used in this podcast before, you know, may you be safe. You know, may you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. I wish them all those things. I wish myself all of those things. I wish our planet all of those things. I wish other beings in our planet all of those things. So that is who I am from the inside out. So when you get to a place of understanding that and accepting that, as you said so beautifully, Michelle, there's peace in that. There's the resolution that this is okay. This is actually better than okay. This is excellent. This is how I would want to be.
Mm-hmm. And that is that quote, the Eckhart Tolle quote, accept the present moment as if you had chosen it. But what I was going to say as well is that we must be having telepathy or reading each other's minds, because you brought up what I was going to ask you about next, which is the practice of writing your mantra for somebody and mantra writing, and how that is a tool that you use, especially for loving people from afar. Even if you're still in good graces with them, I think it's a way of sending well wishes to anybody.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, mantra writing is what I said before, those phrases, may you be safe, may you be well. Mantra writing for me is also, I have phrases that I write, this too shall pass. Any kind of affirmation or phrase that resonates with me deeply within my soul or within my heart, that sends the loving wishes to myself or to others.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a phrase, or if there's a, you know, an affirmation that you use, I use this one a lot, all is well in this moment. But one of the phrases that I've been using a lot lately are, especially if I'm using it in loving people from afar, if I'm using it, let me preface this by saying, when I feel the urge to do that, it's usually because I've had like a little hit inside of me. Like, I wonder how he's doing, or I wonder how she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that happens, I kind of get a smile on my face, and I might just close my eyes for a moment, or I might just repeat the phrases, you know, may you be safe. I may even use the person's name.
Or you write it.
Or I write it. But if I'm just thinking about the person in that moment, they just happen to come into my consciousness, I might just close my eyes wherever I am in that moment, or not even maybe close my eyes, just kind of say, may you be safe. You know, may you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You know, sending that loving kindness, sending that those well wishes to someone that I still care deeply about and still love, but can't have a one-on-one physical relationship with.
And what do you find that provides for you in doing that?
First of all, it brings a smile to my face.
Yeah, you do look very happy even just thinking about
Yeah,
that.
I was just thinking about one person in particular, because I've been thinking about him the past week or two. It like brings a smile to my face, because I trust the process, that this is the reality and the truth of what is. And as I said before, I think several times in this episode, I've done all that I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the person. So it brings comfort. It brings ease. It brings happiness. It brings me a sense of, as you were saying much earlier in this episode, I feel like the love is being sent. I feel like the well wishes are being sent. I don't have to have them in my physical presence and give them a physical hug or a hi, how are you? I can do that through the energy that I have and the deep love that I have within me, sending it out to them. And it's powerful. As you said, it's really powerful.
And it's enough.
And it's more than enough. I know I always say, in the early days I said it was enough, but now I think it's why it brings a smile to my face, or why it brings a warmth to my heart, or why it brings me comfort, is it's more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm so grateful that I have it.
Right.
Because I would probably be in misery.
Mm.
I would probably be sad. Why can't this work? I love this person. I love this family. So I'm so grateful that I have it. I'm so grateful that I am content.
And there's no expectation from it.
No, none.
Like, by doing so, something will change. It is just an untethered love without any sort of expectation or something in return. It's just sending it out because that's how you feel and you're not seeking anything else as a result of it.
And because, yes, exactly, Michelle. And it's the truth.
Right.
Like what I said before, after going through the 5 stages and going through the phases of all of that, it's the truth. I still have deep love.
Right.
So it's the truth. So I think when you get to the truth and you get to that place of acceptance, I've been using this phrase quite often in my own internal conversations and dialogue. As you guys know, we talk about this often that
she talks to herself.
I talk to myself a lot, and I've been using this phrase and it's been very helpful. I am easily satisfied.
Huh?
Like I'm trying not to look for, that, what does that mean? How am I going to explain this? There's a comfort.
I'm curious because I've never heard you say that before.
I know. It's something that I've been really, tossing around inside of myself. Like mm-hmm. I don't want to be having, I think this is what it means for me. I'm tired of having judgments and expectations.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying that I'm going to accept disrespect or any of those things. What I'm saying is for me, I come to a place, what do I need? What's happening in this moment? And can I be satisfied with acceptance? Probably is where I'm talking about, like where I'm going with this. Can I accept what is in this moment? Can I accept, as Maya Angelou said, when people show you who they are, believe them. Instead of writing a story, instead of being all worked up about it, instead of being impatient about it, instead of having all these high expectations, not that all of that might not be necessary maybe in some form or in some realm, but at the bottom line, what I'm really trying to get to a place of, what do I need in this moment? What is happening for me in this moment without writing my own story about it when I know nothing about the other person? Or I might not know anything about the circumstances that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
I know it feels like we're getting a little bit off track.
No.
Or it's getting a little bit, I don't want it to sound woo-woo or deep.
No,
I
don't think so.
I like
listening to your thought processes about how you work through some of these more complicated topics.
Well, I think there's something, when I say, may I live with ease.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been saying that for myself. I say it for others and I say it for myself. Right. Every day. I have a whole process every day.
Right.
I think that's what's led me to easily satisfied. I'm still processing.
And that
it.
Is like a realm of acceptance
exactly.
by being easily satisfied.
And it doesn't mean I'm going to accept, it doesn't mean I'm going to accept disrespect.
No, but I mean or being at peace with what is.
Being at peace right? with what is. So if I have, let's say I have we were really going to get off track here for a moment.
No, it's a nuance of the conversation.
So where I went with this a few weeks ago was, I have a dream. I'm turned 68 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have dreams for the next, chapter of my life. So I have all these dreams and these wishes. And there used to be a part of me, I'd have this dream, but then I would think, okay, then sometimes I would get worked up or get a little bit, oh my gosh, I got to do this. I got, speed it up.
Yeah.
Is the best word for me to use about myself. Speed it up. I used to say that to you all the time. I need to
come. Anxious.
Anxious, I guess, but I never identified it as that word anxious, but it certainly is. I would always say, Barb, you're speeded up right now, when I would talk to myself.
Mm-hmm.
So in this chapter of my life, I'm truly trying to, okay, I've got this dream. Now let me take one step at a time to get there. Even though it feels like I have less years left in this chapter of my life than I had before.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, to me, that is coming across inside of me, my internal dialogue as easily satisfied. I've done this work for today. I'm easily satisfied with it. I don't need to think about, what am I going to do tomorrow? I don't need to think about, am I going to be able to accomplish this in the next 20 years?
Right.
I don't need to think about all of those other steps in the path of this chapter of my life. I just need to be satisfied with what the best that I could do today. And I think that in the realm with loving people from afar, I am satisfied, deeply satisfied with where I am today and how I love family members from afar that I can't have a personal or a physical relationship with.
Well, so what it sounds like is that it's the ultimate living in the present moment and the acceptance of what is in the present moment and feeling at peace with whatever is in the present moment, knowing that you've done whatever you could do in this moment in time and that whatever's to come will come. And I think that that goes for goals and dreams and wishes for our lives, but also relationships. You know, you love people from afar and you send out those well wishes or prayers, and not knowing what tomorrow will bring for that relationship or what will happen in the future. But it is what it is in this moment, and it is how it is. And there's a peace and acceptance that comes from just acknowledging it as it is right now. Because life is always changing. And so we don't need to think about or go into what is it going to be tomorrow or what even it was yesterday or last year or 20 years ago. The chapter that we're in is the chapter that we're in, and it's always moving forward. And you never know how, like, the evolution of how life is going to unfold or how our relationships are going to unfold. It's not for us to know, but we can know how we want to show up and how we want to extend our love to a person or a group of people or to a situation in this present moment, in this chapter of our lives.
Exactly.
And but without any expectations of holding on to what it's going to look like in 10 years or if it's ever going to look like what it did in the past.
And stop struggling with the guilt or the fear or the judgment or the ache of setting the boundary with the loved ones or whatever it is, actually working through all of those feelings so that you can get to a place of acceptance of what is, that's right for you and that's right for the whole, actually. Yeah. Right for you and right for the whole. And it's very, very, very emotionally complex. I just want to say that.
And it looks different for everyone.
Exactly. But it's very emotional complex. But I guess the best, and maybe we started this whole episode this way. I think I've said this probably along the way, but I think the best way to describe it is that when you go through the process of this emotional complexity, like this is very emotionally complex. When you go through it, when you start to prioritize your well-being, your mental health, your personal growth, your need of what is right for you and your family, or what is right for you and your immediate family, what do you need? When you start to go through all of that, at the end of the line, you cannot ever change another person.
Mm-hmm.
You can only change yourself. And so I don't choose to ever abandon myself again. I don't choose to ever not put myself, I don't choose to put myself in a situation that is not in my best mental wellness. So that's it. And what does Shakespeare say? There lies the rub.
I have no idea.
Yeah. There's,
I don't know if I've ever heard that one.
Yeah. You could Google it. I think that's what it is.
That's new.
I could have never
predicted that would come out of your mouth.
There lies the truth. Yeah. Google it. Make sure I said it right. There lies the truth. So when you get to the truth,
you're right.
Yeah. There lies the rub.
There lies the rub means that's where the difficulty or problem lies.
Yeah.
Originating from Shakespeare's Hamlet. Wow, yeah. Did I go to school? How did I not hear that before?
Yeah.
Anyways.
So that's there it is. And so when you get to that place of difficult, when you get to that place, then the only other place you can go is inward. Is going inward. Take all the noise in the external world out. Take all the noise of other people telling you what the right thing to do is. Take it all out and asking yourself, what's happening in this moment with this relationship? What can I do? How do I feel? And go from there and really take it step by step without any external noise, mm-hmm. without any external people telling you what to do, really trying to sort it out for yourself. And I said, this relationship that I'm talking about today, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've probably been in this space of loving from afar, probably 6,
mm-hmm.
I would say 6, maybe 7, but a good 1, 2, 3 years of this whole process that I'm talking about today. But it is so worthwhile. There's, you know, we talk about preserving peace. You see all the beautiful quotes and you see all the things. Nothing is worth losing your inner peace. Nothing is worth losing your sanity or whatever. All those things that we see, there truly is nothing more powerful than feeling at peace with decisions and actions that you're ready to take, especially when it's around very, very difficult, complex relationships. Mm-hmm. And when you feel at peace, when you feel good, when you feel grounded, when you feel love, I think it's kind of, you know, you've made it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that in a very arrogant or egotistical way. I just mean, there's nothing greater than this.
No, I agree. Because the place that you're in, knowing the journey that you've been through, it really is of freedom and of peace and of contentment and acceptance and lightness.
Well, and I think, you know, we talk about too, the Bronnie Ware quote, that the number one thing that people say on their deathbed is, I wish I had lived the life that I wanted to live instead of living the life that other people expected of me.
Yeah.
And I always translate that in also to, I wish I hadn't had any regrets, or I wish I had said something to a family member that I wish I didn't say, or whatever it is. And so when I say that I'm at peace or at ease with the relationship, it means just that. I don't have any regrets. I don't have any thoughts that I wish I had done something differently. Because I've run the gamut in my brain. I've talked through it all within me of all the things that I could do. And so I think there's an ease and a peace that comes over you. But I think the beautiful thing about that is that you really are in that place of love. Mm-hmm. Love for yourself and love for the other person.
I love it.
And when you're in that space of love, there are no regrets. There is no guilt. There is no fear or judgment or any of those other kind of things. It just is.
I love it.
And I love you because I love you, not any other reason.
It's simple, but powerful. So I think if you're listening to this episode and have been kind of going back and forth with yourself of how this is possible, how can you love someone from afar? Or if you feel like you need some physical distance from someone in your life that you do still have love for, I think that taking yourself through the stages of grief is a great place to start, of working through all of those feelings that come along with a shift in relationship. And it doesn't have to just be, it can be for any kind of relationship or any kind of situation, because I really think any kind of change will bring up those feelings where we're maybe in denial or anger or not really believing that it's true. You know, everything. Life is hard and change is hard. And so those emotions come up. So really let yourself go through that process and sit with your feelings and be present to them so that you can ultimately get to a place of acceptance of what is, to where you are genuinely feeling that love and that you can send it from afar. Is that a fair practice, Mom?
I think that's beautiful, Michelle. Yes, I think that's exactly what we're talking about. Those five stages, denial. I went through all of those and all of the examples that I'm talking about. I'm specifically honing in on one during this episode, but when I look at all of the family members or relationships, close relationships that I'm loved from afar, that I went through all of those stages.
Yeah.
You know, denial. This can't really be happening. You know, sending a letter or sending a text or whatever. This can't really be happening. How could this possibly be happening? You know, anger. How dare that? You know, we went through all this bargaining in my mind. You know,
sadness, then the sadness and depression.
Then the sadness. And then the acceptance. So I think it's really beautiful. And I think it's really, sometimes I think it's the only way.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we're locked into, oh my gosh, this is the only way. But when you've done everything else, why is it that we have such a hard time as human beings accepting the truth and accepting the fact of what is and being okay with this is the only way, because this only way is love.
Mm-hmm.
Or it can be, you know, it can get you to a place of love. And I think as you go through the stages and all that, you start to peel away, as I said, you know, the longing for something that isn't real. You know, so I think I feel very strongly that, you know, it has to be done in phases.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be just done. That so
of course,
I think you start with setting boundaries. You start with having communication, or you start with sorting it out in that way. And if that doesn't work, then you set the boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if that crossing the boundaries, you know, what are your non-negotiable boundaries? And then, you know, if that you've got the boundaries and there's still some kind of angst, you know, or irritation, you know, you can send an occasional message thinking of you, you know, or send a, you know, a text or a letter or, you know, thoughtful gift. I mean, you can do whatever it is you're feeling called to do. And I think though, in the process of using, you know, the mindfulness technique that I've been talking about of sending the good wishes,
right?
You know, may you be safe, may you be healthy, whatever it feels right for you, you know. And then of course, talking to a trusted friend, hey, this is what's happening. Talking to yourself.
Yep.
You know, developing that strong, confident relationship with yourself, that loving relationship with yourself. And I think remembering that when you love someone from afar, you're not rejecting them.
And you're not a failure.
And you're not a failure.
Your relationships aren't a failure. You're not unlovable. You're not unworthy. Just because this particular relationship or group of relationships is complicated and maybe looks different than it does for other people.
It's actually an act of courage and self-respect and loving for yourself, as I've spoken about quite often in this episode. And that love for yourself, then you can, it opens you up to feel the love for the other person, regardless of what's happened. So you kind of work through all of that. So regardless of what's happened.
And you say this often, that sometimes the most loving thing we can do is honor our own boundaries while still holding that compassion and love for the others in our hearts or in whatever way that resonates with us.
Yeah. So you can see, I guess I would end everything with this, if this is clear.
Yeah.
Is this clear? Any, you know, any questions, please let us know. But you can see how that, just what you just said, you know, that I believe so wholeheartedly, you can see how that leads you to a place of acceptance and ease.
Mm-hmm.
It leads you to a place of all is well in this moment. It leads you to a place of being satisfied with this is what it is.
Yep.
And I'm satisfied. I don't have to fight it anymore. I don't have to wrangle in my head anymore about what did I do wrong or what are they doing wrong or judgment or, you know, I think I've said this before, and I know that I've said it to you, Michelle, personally. My mother used to say often, because she was so troubled and so, so sad, she used to say often to me, Barbara, when you can walk in my shoes, you will know how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've carried that with me my whole life. So I think it has served me well, especially in these, you know, last 40 years of my, you know, practice and all the things that I talk about, is that I'm not walking in another person's shoes. I have no idea what's going on. So stop writing a story about it, Barb, because you don't know. Yeah. And I don't want other people writing a story about my life either.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's a lot of peace and ease that goes with that.
I love it. And it's also a reminder that that distance doesn't mean disconnect.
Right.
And you can have a connection with someone, even if you're not maintaining that physical relationship or seeing each other or constantly in communication. And through this idea of loving people from afar, we can redefine the connection that we have with other peoples in a way that protects our own peace and our growth and our well-being and our emotional well-being. And when we are open to loving people from afar and cultivating acceptance for where our relationships are in this present moment, I think we create space for deeper healing and fulfillment from within for ourselves and for the other person. And knowing that life is constantly changing and evolving, and by showing up with this acceptance, we can have a confidence for how we're living our lives every single day.
That's beautiful, Michelle.
Just wrapping it all up in a bow, mother.
I love it.
So yeah, I know that this is a heavy and complicated topic, but I hope that if there's anyone out there listening who is struggling with this topic or feels like they want to bring a relationship that they have in their lives to this place, hopefully you can feel like you have a better idea of some steps you can take and how to find and cultivate that peace and acceptance that we talked about. But it is a journey. It is a process. It's something that we both have gone through personally in our relationships. And it's not easy, but getting to that place is definitely a worthwhile journey.
Yeah. And if you are just piggyback on what you said, Michelle, if you are in this space, really just very gently, very, very gently start to cultivate a relationship with yourself in this moment, asking yourself, what do you need? What's happening for you? Maybe do some journaling.
Yeah. You
know, do some practices and start processing these very complex, difficult feelings that might be happening just little by little by little. Just start. That's the way. This is my way. This is what happened for me. Mm-hmm. Certainly I had, you know, therapy along the way as well, but just really start gently asking yourself these questions. And if it's difficult to answer them, maybe just have a pad and paper in front of you and just start to free write, as you've taught so many times, Michelle, just free writing what your feelings might be so that you can start to get to a place where you're cultivating a relationship with yourself and a caring about yourself. When you're asking yourself these questions and then you're allowing the answers to come and you're spending that time, our precious time on yourself, you're spending that precious time asking yourself questions because you care so deeply. So if you care so deeply about the relationship or you want to try to fix the relationship that feels broken, start working on the relationship with yourself first. Understanding how you feel. Why is this complex? What is happening? What are some of the things that are happening for you? And once you start to do that, it really opens up a lot of avenues of where you can go next in thinking about, okay, now what am I okay with? You know, let me send this person a letter. You just start to get a little bit more creative and start to get a little bit more open to understanding,
mm-hmm.
especially understanding yourself, which has to be first always.
How can we
understand other people and get to a place of love for other people when it's very fraught with, you know, anger and frustration and irritation and disrespect or whatever it is when we don't have that for ourselves first.
Absolutely.
Trust yourself.
Yeah. I love that. And I love you, Mom.
I love you, sweetie. Thank you, everyone, for
listening. Thank you for sharing that. I know it's a vulnerable share, but I think it's really helpful for others to start to contemplate what that could look like for them in their lives.
Well, that's my desire. So I hope that
yes,
that
ma'am.
Is true.
Yeah. I also find it really funny that this was an episode. We were like, oh, maybe it'll be a shorter one. And it ends up being the ones that we say quick episodes always end up being the longest. So thanks for joining us on this journey, Mom, and our listeners. We're appreciative and grateful for you. And thank you, Mom, for always sharing your wisdom and insights. In the spirit of the season, we are so grateful for all of you, our listeners and our community, for being a part of the show and our online space. We don't take any of your support for granted, and we're so grateful for all of you. Thank you so much for listening week in, week and week out. As always, if you haven't yet, make sure you're liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so that you're always up to date with each new episode as it drops. If you haven't yet, take a couple moments to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes or Spotify and leave us a review. It's super helpful for us and for the show, and we really, really appreciate when you do so. If you have questions, comments, concerns, or like to request a future podcast topic, make sure you're following us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, and at Barb Knows Best Pod. That is the best way to stay in touch. There are a couple links in our show notes to subscribe to our Substacks. There's lots of fun stuff going on over there, so take a look. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you, Mom. And we will chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Chicago Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.